All right. Go ahead, if you would, take your Bibles out. Turn to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. It's a story that just keeps coming around. It seems to be something that has just constantly come back to my attention. It's a story that it seems no matter where I turn, I've been hearing it lately, and I can't help but think that if it's something that I need, then maybe it'll help somebody else tonight. I was studying over this, and one of the things I like to do when I'm studying is I like to look what's going on before this event, what's going on after this event. It gives a better idea of context of what I'm looking at. And we see this story of Elisha, and at the very beginning here, chapter 5, we see the story of Naaman. Everyone knows, well, I say everyone knows, most of us know the story of Naaman. He worked for the king of Syria. He was the captain of the host, but he had leprosy. And he ended up on one of his raids bringing back a little girl. And the one thing that this little girl knew is she knew God can help my master. So, we see that the king of Syria sends this captain. He sends him to the king of Israel, who says, "Does he think I'm God? I can't just get this man healed." And when Elisha heard about it, he said, "No, you can't, but send him to me." See, Elisha knew the power of his God. And Elisha sees that the general shows up, and he sends a message to him. He says, "Go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And we all know the general's reaction was, "What? You've got the most nasty river I have ever seen in my life, and you want me to go down and dip in it?" The world oftentimes thinks that doing what God wants us to do and living the way God wants us to do looks nasty to them, but the blessings are on the other side of it. But finally, one of the men with him says, "Look, sir, if he wanted you to do something that was valiant and courageous and you just had to get out there and do something nobody else could do, you'd do that. This is something simple. Give it a try. We all traveled this far. Just give it a try." So reluctantly, he goes down to the river, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm sure he was growing weary of it, 7 times he dipped in the Jordan, just like the man of God told him to do. And on the 7th time, the Bible says that when he came up, the leprosy was gone and his flesh was like that of a newborn baby, completely brand new. So we see that's the events in Elisha's life before what we're going to look at tonight. We see the power of God displayed. We see actually just after that that his servant ends up being very greedy, decides he wants part of the world that was just taken away from this general. So he decides he's going to go after him. He's not going to tell Elisha. He's not going to tell the man of God. He says, "I'm just going to go after him. We're not going to tell anybody about it." And he gets down there and he runs after this general and he pulls him aside and he says, "Look, we got a couple preacher boys. They showed up. They could use a little money. They could use a change or two of clothes." Naaman, thinking he's coming at the direction of Elisha, says, "Absolutely. You ask for a talent of silver, I'll give you 2, and I'll give you a couple of changes of clothes for both of them." Well, he takes those, and Gehazi goes back. And when he gets back, Elisha said, "Gehazi, where you been?" I'm sure Gehazi got a big lump in his throat when he heard that question. "What do you mean, where have I been?" "Gehazi, my spirit went with you. I know exactly where you've been. I know exactly what you've been doing. And because you wanted some of what you thought was so great, some of what Naaman had, some of the things of the world that you thought was so worth it, okay, then the exact sin of the world, a picture of leprosy. Leprosy is a picture of sin in the Bible. He said the exact same thing that was binding Naaman that you thought was so worth it, that's going to come on you. And not just you, Naaman, or excuse me, not just you, Gehazi. It's also going to come on your children and your children's children. And it says that day that Gehazi left from Elisha's presence white as snow. So Elisha has seen this great provision by God. Elisha has just lost his servant who, while serving him, made just like Demas and forsook him, loving this present world. And that's where we find our story picking up today. Elisha doesn't let what's been going on slow him down. He's right back at work. He's teaching preacher boys to know their God. He's busy trying to spread the gospel through teaching one young man and another young man and another young man how to get to know their God. And it picks up in chapter 6, verse number 1, and it says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." Basically, it's too small. There's not enough room. "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come back to your house tonight, Lord. I thank you for, Lord, just your word and for what it means to us. Lord, I know the things that you've put on my mind. I know the message that you've put on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you would please, Lord, allow all flesh to step aside, Lord, whether mine, whether those listening. And I pray that you would please just allow what you've spoken to me to come through and to be able to be conveyed just as clearly to these your people. Lord, I pray you'd just be with the time to come. And I pray you'd just speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in verse number 1, it says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." So we see that these are preacher boys. These are the sons of the prophets. These are people, what we would think of as Bible college students, although it doesn't have to be Bible college student. Any young man, any young person who is trying to study under the authority of their local church, get to know their God better, serve God with everything they've got, this is the kind of people that Elisha's with. He's trying his best to train them, to bring them up to know their God, to let them know the power that in many cases they haven't seen like Elisha's seen. He wants them to know their God. He wants them to long for their God more than anything else. So, in this place where he's trying to train these preacher boys, their building becomes too small for them. And the young men who are sitting there, I'm sure after a few times of sitting in a crowded schoolroom and move over, now you move over, there ain't nowhere to move. I'm sure after a while, some of them started going, man, it'd be nice if we had a little bit bigger place. You know what? Let's ask Elisha. I mean, we could go down by the Jordan. We could cut some trees down. We could build a bigger building. We could build something that God could use to expand our ministry and allow us to be able to do even more for God. More people could come and be trained. Well, at that, they said, well, let's go talk to Elisha. They had a good desire. They wanted to serve God. They wanted to do everything they possibly could to get to know God as best as they could. But as many of us know, sometimes experience is one of those things that There's no substitution for the way it teaches. So these young men, they go before Elisha, say, "Elisha, we'd like to build another building, a bigger building. Wouldn't any church want to expand, want to grow a bigger building?" And they said, let us go down to Jordan. Let us take our tools. Let us work. Let us go begin chopping trees down, making beams. Elisha, can we expand? Can we do more?" At which point Elisha said, "Go." So we see these young men, they needed more room. They were growing. But not only that, in their growing, they didn't plan on, well, let's make something that fits us and that'll work. No. They wanted to build something with room to expand. We can teach more people. This doesn't have to stop with us. So they had this vision. They went to Elisha. They said, "Let us build." He said, "Go." But that wasn't good enough. We move a little bit farther down, and we see that these men wanted Elisha's permission. But more than just Elisha's permission, they wanted Elisha's presence. They said, "This is the man of God. We want him with us." And verse number 3, it says, "And one said, 'Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.'" They said, "Elisha, it's not just enough for us to say, yeah, the preacher's okay with this. We can go do it. We want to be doing something that is so much moving forward for God. The preacher wants to be involved in it too." There's a lot of things in life that you can begin to engage in, and they're not necessarily bad things. But how many of those things would you take the preacher along for? Those kinds of things are the things that aren't going to help grow a ministry like what these young men were trying to do here. They said, "Elisha, it's not good enough for you to just say, 'We can go do it.' We want, Elisha, we want the presence of the man of God with us." After all, that was the man who had been teaching them. That was some of the closest and the most of God that these young men had ever seen in a man, and that is what they wanted to go with them. So they ask Elisha, "Please, would you be content," verse 3, "and one said, 'Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.'" And I'm sure these young men were so excited. They said, "Elisha is going with us. He's not just going to send us and say good luck. He's going with us. The man of God working side by side with him. That's what I get to look forward to when we get down to the Jordan River." Now remember, we just talked about Naaman. We just talked about the Jordan River. Let's get a little involvement here. If nothing else, I know my junior church kids can jump in here with me. What was the Jordan River like? It doesn't have to be just junior church kids. Abby? It was nasty. It was dirty. I imagine you could stick your hand just barely in it and not even be able to see it. Right alongside this river is where these men are working. Now, if it's anything like the Jordan River back in Utah where we came from, that river didn't smell too good either. We don't know, but the Bible says it was a very dirty, nasty river. So, the young men get down there, and not only do they get down there, they don't make like a lot of church people do. They get down there, and instead of sitting down and creating 6 subcommittees on how are we going to begin to do this, and is that tree going to work, and, well, maybe this part of it, but no. The Bible says they got down there, and they got right to work. Verse number 4, it says, "So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood." They didn't waste any time. They said, "We're going to get at the work that God's called us to do. God put it in as a burden on our hearts. The man of God's behind it. In fact, he's right here with us. Let's get to work. What are we waiting for?" How many times do you have places in your ministry or things that God's like, "You ought to really help with that. Or you really ought to do this." And you sit there and go, "I don't want to do that. I just really don't want to do that." Sometimes it's because, well, God, I don't have time. Sometimes it's because, God, that would take some serious sacrifice. Sometimes it's because, God, I'm tired, really? Sometimes it's because, God, I would do that, but what would so-and-so think? Or a very common one among church people, well, if I join the choir, someone would see that. I'll do that. What do you mean there's an opening to drive a church bus, bring snotty kids in? I don't know if I want to do that. That's more of that time stuff, and I don't have so much of it. Or maybe, just maybe, it's one of those, I don't want to help clean the church. That's nasty. You know what those kids do in those bathrooms? See, people don't see that. That's the things that we look at and go, well, someone else will do it, when God put it on your heart to do it. But these men get down there. They don't waste any time. They knew what God wanted them to do, and they got there, and they got right to work. Which brings us to verse number 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Imagine this young man. He's down there. He's working. He's giving it everything he's got. He's swinging with that axe. And then all of a sudden, what used to be a solid swing, he could see the axe head hitting that tree. It would dig in. He knew it was coming. He was doing his part. And then all of a sudden, you just hear, no more chop, just a thunk. And how many times do we have times in our Christian life where God put it on our heart, we jump in there, we do it, we're doing what God wants us to do, we know it, we're giving it everything we've got. But then something comes along. It steals that sharpened axe head. Takes away the power of God from our life because we get our eyes off God, just like Peter did when he was walking on the water. And all of a sudden, what used to be progress, you could see things going forward, now all you get, doesn't make a difference, doesn't make a dent. You feel like you're sitting here spinning your wheels and going nowhere. What happened? Why is the power of God gone? What is it that came into your life where you lost your axe head? You lost your desire to serve God. You lost your energy to serve God. We'll see exactly why it's such a struggle for us. As we look at verse number five again, it says, "And the young man cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" We need to stop there first. When the young man was swinging his axe and he was going at it with everything he got, and all of a sudden he realized, I don't have any power anymore. His reaction is key to the rest of this story. The very next words behind it, when the axe head flew off and it fell in that dirty, nasty Jordan River where he couldn't even see it, his very next reaction, the Bible says, and he cried. And he cried. It wasn't something that he said, "Oh, well, guess I'm going home. Can't work anymore. Don't know where it went. I'm not going in there after it." That wasn't his reaction. His reaction, he realized he lost his power. He realized that sharp edge that God had given him to be about God's business was gone. And he was powerless without it. There was nothing that young man could do to fell that tree without that axe head. So the Bible says the young man cried, and how often do we lose our power? And we come back to church the next time and the next time, and maybe miss one here and maybe two there, but we come back and we still like each other's posts on Facebook, and we're still kind of engaged with the church, but your power's not there. When you sing in the choir, your power's not there. When you go knocking on doors to tell people about Jesus, your power's not there. When you just come to help run media stuff or buses or whatever, you haven't prayed before you even come to God's house, and after a while, you don't even miss it. And then maybe your attendance might get a little more spotty, or maybe not. Maybe you'll be there. Like clockwork, people could think things. But at the same time, God's sitting here going, it's been a long time since I've heard from you. You're down there doing mighty things in my name, but I don't know who you are. I haven't heard from you in a long time. That wasn't the reaction for this young man. He said, I know God is not able to help me finish taking this down if I don't have my axe head. And the very first thing he did was he cried. And the next thing he did after that, he went straight to the man of God. He said, I don't know where it is. He said, but it's gone. And I need to get to the man of God. I need help in getting my axe head back. He wasn't content to be without it. He wasn't content to just pretend he was there. He wanted to be there and he wanted to be involved. And he knew he couldn't be involved while his axe head was gone. So he goes to the man of God and he says, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. For the longest time, I heard that story, and I'm sitting here going, what a cheapskate college student couldn't get himself one axe that was his own and take to work at the church. But you know what? Spiritually, your axe head is borrowed. The power of God in your life is there because God lent that to you. God breathed into you life. God breathed into you salvation and the opportunity to be able to serve him with everything he's given you. And you know what? That borrowed axe head, is it still there? Have you missed it? Maybe it is still there. Maybe you're still serving with everything you've got. Maybe it's getting loose. Maybe you need to check on your axe head and make sure you're not going to lose it. So we go a little bit farther. The young man, he comes to Elisha. He cries. He said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And then we see the man of God. He looks at him, verse number 6, and the man of God said, Where fell it? Young man, where'd it fall? Young lady, where'd it fall? Adult men, adult women, where'd it fall? You see, when they talked to this young man, where fell it? The young man went back and he said, it's in there. He knew where it was. He knew what had happened in life where he had completely lost his ability to be effective in the ministry. He knew where it was. And I dare say every one of us, if there's a point where you're not serving God like you ought to, you can probably think back to, well, when I made this decision, just hadn't been the same since. Haven't had the same power in prayer with God since. Or maybe, when I decided to involve myself in this, that's when I lost the power of God. That's when I wasn't any more effective at the church, and well, I was just pretty much showing up and then going home and getting my check mark for attendance. Where fell it? The young man knew exactly where it was. Every one of us knows exactly where it is. If there's a point where we've lost our axe head, we know where it was that we lost God's power in our life. And the next part about this is so awesome. Verse number 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he, being Elisha, cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Do what? Yeah. When that young man realized, I've lost the power of God in my service, I'm doing this all in the flesh. I don't have any power of God at doing this. And you know what? It's a whole lot harder work when I don't have the power of God in it. And Elisha, upon hearing the young man say, where fell it? Elisha, here's where it was. Here's where I lost it. At that point, Elisha takes the young man, who knows, maybe even to a part of the tree he was cutting on, but it says Elisha took a stick, just like God took an old rugged cross. And when he took that old rugged cross and put it over our sin, all of a sudden we had power with God. And when Elisha takes this young man, he takes this stick and he throws that stick right in the water, right where the young man said, this is where I lost it. I need to get this under the cross. I need my power back. That's the point when God steps in. That's the point when all of a sudden the young man, he didn't have to get off in that mess to get his axe head back. God worked a miracle. The only record in the Bible where iron swims. It's a good thing. I'm glad that doesn't happen all the time. The iron swam back to where the young man could reach it. The young man saw, when God gets involved, I get my axe head back. It comes back. I can be effective again. I can take that. I can get it back on the handle, and I can make sure I'm not going to lose it again. And verse number 7, the Bible says, therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. That's all it takes. It doesn't take this long. Well, I've been away from God this long, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I have so many things I've got to get right with God before I could ever possibly be used by Him again. That's not what it takes. It takes a heart going, God, I've lost my axe head. I need help getting it back. Get that thing under the cross. And all of a sudden, God brings your power right back to you on His own. It's nothing for God to make iron swim. It's something we could never do on our own. But it's something God can do. And He brought that iron swimming right back. That young man pulled that out. And no doubt, he didn't sit here and go, well, that was kind of cool. I'm going to go take that home and hang it up on the wall. No one's going to believe this. That wasn't his impression at all. This young man said, God gave me a second chance. God gave me a second chance to be able to get back to work, to be able to serve Him like I ought to. And you know what? This time I'm going to make sure that the power of God on my axe isn't just loose. It's not going to come flying away the first time I get distracted. It's going to stay. And you know what? I guarantee you He was a whole lot more careful how He used that axe after that. He knew the power of God. He had just seen it. In fact, if we back up into the end of chapter 4, this could have very well been one of the young men that had already seen Elisha take this bowl of stew that they had put together, a pot of stew, and someone had accidentally brought something to mix into it that was poisonous. They didn't know they had. They just went out and was grabbing stuff. There was a famine going on, and that was growing. They were going to put it in. This same young man was very likely one of the sons of the prophets that was there that day. There that exact same day that Elisha came along, put a little meal into it, and with the power of God, nobody died from that poisonous stew that day. He had seen that. But it wasn't just something he had seen at church now. It was something he had seen in his life. Because nobody's going to believe you until you experience that God can make your axe head swim. He can bring it back. He can give you his power all over again. And you know what? When that young man grabbed that axe up and he went back and he started going at it, all of a sudden things were getting done for God again. He wasn't just beating a stick against a tree hoping to get somewhere anymore. How many times in our ministry do we get to a point where it's like, I do the same thing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I ain't even through the month yet. How many times do we get so weary of beating our stick against the tree? Because at some point we lost our axe head and we need to go before God and say, alas, Master, it was borrowed. You gave me your power in my life to serve you. God, I got distracted. God, I got too focused on me. I'm not focused enough on you and what you have me doing. And God, I want to get back to what you've got me here to do. I remember back in verses 1 and 2, I remember when you put it on my heart that we needed to expand. We needed to do more. And you know what? I want to get back to that. I want to serve you in such a way that things are getting done and people can only look at it and say, God did that. So where's the power of God in your life? Is it there? Is it loose? Has it fallen off in the river? Well, if that's the case, let me ask, do you miss it? Do you miss the power of God on your life? Or have you just gotten accustomed to it? You say, well, after beating my stick against the tree for a while, I'm going home. People do it. But just like Mr. Snow said in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, when we go home and we just decide to do our thing, yeah, we're still saved. If we've trusted in Christ for our salvation, we're still saved. But just like he said, think of all the blessings that were missing from Samson's life. Because Samson lost his axe head and he didn't bother going back for it. He didn't miss it. But what he did miss was the blessings that could have come from the hand of God on his life. God still kept his promise, like he said. He still began to deliver the Philistines using Samson. But Samson missed all of the blessings he could have had because he didn't miss the power of God on his life. Do you? The question is tonight, you still have your axe head? If not, where fell it? Have you cried? Have you begged God to step back into your life, to give you the power that you once had? If there was ever a time in your life that you say, I had more power then with God than I do now, you've lost your axe head. And at that point, you need to beg God and say, God, I know the power you gave me, it's yours. You borrowed it to me. This is where I dropped it. Lord, would you please, please bring it back. Find what took it away, get it under the old rugged cross, and get your power back with God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the night that you've given us. I thank you for the time around your word. Lord, I pray that you would please just take these few verses, Lord, this simple message that you've put out, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to try my best to convey it, and Lord, I pray that you would please just help your word to go forth. I pray that you'd help it to have an impact in at least one life, Lord, and I pray that you would just, Lord, help us to be ever conscious
of where our axe head is, Lord, so that we can always be the effective tool that you want us to be. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with those who have been out. I pray that you'd be with those traveling. Give them safety. Lord, I pray as we enter this prayer time that you'd please be with each request brought up, that you'd just take every situation, every need, Lord, and I pray that you'd just work your hand through it as only you can. Pray that you'd bless each person leaving here tonight. Grant safety on the way home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and take our prayer sheets and spend the next several moments in prayer.